where people just go about eating as they like, not knowing that God, and many calling themselves Christians, but not knowing that God has his own rules so far as what we can and cannot eat. And not knowing that it is, as Sean said, it is a salvific matter, meaning it affects your salvation. These are things that are totally hidden and which have to be brought to the world that people can truly understand. And so this afternoon, we will be dealing with a topic. It is concerns what is known as the prosperity gospel. Now, I don't know if you have heard that term before. You might have heard the term health and wealth gospel. It's the same thing. Or you may have heard about the word of faith gospel. This is the common sort of gospel that is being taught on your television programs. Many of you from your television screens, you see, you know, these things being taught. And you need to know, you need to understand, because everything that we believe must line up with what God teaches. And of course, you know, we live in a world where there is so much need for people's need in terms of their health and their wealth and so on. And so this prosperity gospel really seems to fit in very well and make people feel, oh, well, this is God that is doing something for me. Well, we're going to have a talk today and look at this topic. Is the prosperity gospel biblical? Is this something that God wants you to do? And how do you know more and more about it? There are certainly many, many people out there who need health and would like to have wealth. But does God have anything to say? And if you're a Christian and you do not have wealth and you are having problems with your health, is it true that this is because there's some sin in your life why this is happening to you? Because much of what is taught is that, well, if these things are happening to you, it means that there's something going on that you need to get rid of in your life. Well, look, let's start right at the beginning. Everybody dies. Everyone dies. If this were true, it would mean that there is some way in which you can prevent death, because ultimately death comes because of ill health. After a while, it comes upon you. So you just can't take it to say, well, why is God then not causing you to live forever and forever? If this is something that is going to be helping you in order to get rid of sickness and get rid of poverty and so on. Now, what does the health and wealth gospel teach? Here is what it teaches, and here's what it is rooted in. According to the preachers of the health and wealth gospel, they say God rewards increasing faith with increasing health and wealth. In other words, it's a faith thing. If you want to get wealthy, you just need to increase your faith and believe in God. You just need to name it and claim it. I want that. And many of the preachers, you see them saying that. I went and I looked at that car and I said, I'm coming back for you. And they went and they prayed about it and they had their car. And they will see someone else, and people are to come to evangelistic programs. And you've seen it where, you know, you're touching them and blowing them down and they're falling all over the place to say that this is the power of God that is at work. These are things that are very, very common. And this started in pretty recent years, back in the United States. The United States, you know, has been a country that has a lot of, you know, televangelists. It started way back. Oral Roberts is one of the earlier proponents of this teaching. He had a big thing going. In fact, the Oral Roberts show was probably the most watched religious show on television during the time when he was there. And there are many others. You must have heard of names such as, the Trinity Broadcasting Network. Trinity Broadcasting Network. When you listen to those persons speaking, they're telling you how you can get rid of your sickness and how you can be wealthy. And I'm going to bless your pocketbook. But of course, you got to sow a seed. So you've got to send me some money. And then, you know, the Lord will bless you when you send me money. Because, you know, it will make sure that things are going on right in your life. It's a seed of faith. Sow your seed of faith in my ministry. And God is going to make you healthy and wealthy. Many, many others. Kenneth Copeland, Preflo Dollar, Joyce Myers, many of them. Paula White, many ministries have gone on. And this is really the teaching that they will give to you over a period of time. And millions of people all over the world have come to believe in this health and wealth gospel. And believe that this is God at work. And that this is God, what God wants for them. And what God wants them to do. So what is God's view on this issue? What does God say? Is there any guidance for people who are real Christians? Who really want to know God? Who really want to serve Him in spirit and in truth? What must you believe? And what does the Bible say about these teachings? Well, the Bible teaches, yes, about wealth. Of course, the Bible does. But the Bible also speaks both positively and negatively about wealth. And therefore, you have to understand what the Bible says about wealth, both negatively and positively. For example, when the Bible is speaking negatively about wealth, it speaks about storing up treasures on earth. So the Bible does not teach and prompt us to store up treasures on earth. That's not God's wealth plan. God has a wealth plan, but it is not to store up treasures on earth. When the Bible is speaking positively about wealth, it speaks about storing up treasures, it says, in heaven. In other words, storing it up with God, who is in heaven. So there is a way in which we must store up wealth. So there is a wealth that Christianity offers. But it is not the perishable wealth of this world. It's the eternal wealth where moth or rust cannot destroy. That is the wealth of the Bible. And any preacher coming to you, trying to offer you some kind of a way that you can become healthy and wealthy on this earth because of their preaching, are very much falling the line of what you call the Ponzi scheme. It certainly is not a biblical teaching. So in other words, there is a false wealth and there is a true wealth that we must come to understand and know. Go to Matthew 6, please. Verse 19 to 21. And there you're seeing the word of God. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. It's written there in the Bible. So why is it that someone will be coming to you to tell you to, you know, that this is, you know, you can get so much wealth? Many of these preachers themselves, you know, buy themselves big airplanes flying from one place to the other and saying, this is the Lord, you know, if you have faith that the way I have, God will make all these kind of things happen to you, using themselves as an example. Do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth or rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So our heart must not lie with these things. You look, for example, in 1 John chapter 2 and look at verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about the things that we say we want, and boy, I'm going to get one of that, and you know, that sort of lifestyle. He says all of these things is not of the Father, but is of the world. It's a worldly kind of teaching, a worldly kind of religion. It is not for your health or for your wealth. Because anything that thieves can come and take away, or that moth or rust can destroy, it's not worth it. Look at Hebrews 13, verses 5-6. God is speaking. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never fail you nor forsake you. There is an understanding that needs to be brought home to the person who really wants to serve God in spirit and in truth. And that is, what wealth does to people, it causes them to see their independence in such a way where they have no need for God. It's a human nature thing. It is not a matter that you really want to do that. But the more you feel yourself that, well, whatever I want, I can just go in and pick it up and everything is fine. We tend to grow away from God. So God says to us that it is very difficult for those who are wealthy to enter God's kingdom. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And that needle is not just the one that used to sew, but there it was a small hole that the camels used to walk through. And it's called like a needle, the eye of a needle. It is easier for a camel to go through that very thin, where it can hardly make it, than for a wealthy person to enter God's kingdom. It is a dangerous doctrine. It is false doctrine. And it is what is on all the television screens. People are sending WhatsApp all over the place and all kinds of things to listen to this preacher and listen to this preacher, because this preacher is saying this and this preacher is saying that. And spreading false doctrines. But that is not what the Bible teach. God does not want you to be without food. God doesn't want you to be without your health, to the extent that health can serve us for a time. We know our health is not forever. We know that. There's nobody in this body that is going to live forever. Nobody. But what God points us to, and you will see the scriptures as we go through, God points us to be able, as David says, Lord, make me neither rich nor poor. All that you want is to be able to go through this particular life, because we see ourselves as sojourners in the earth. We see ourselves as strangers in the earth. We see ourselves as not belonging to this world. And therefore, we are going through this world. But there is a city with foundation that we are looking for. That is what Abraham saw. This city whose builder and maker is God. And it is that city that we are headed. So we are not interested in all this load around us that it seeks to hold us back. So the problems with this health and wealth gospel is that it does the very opposite of what God wants you to do. What it does, it tells believers how to use God. How to use God in order to get what you want. When the Bible says, you are not your own, you are bought with a price. You must allow God to use you for his purpose. Not you use God for your purpose. But that's what is literally taught. That's what people come to know. That's what they're hearing in their ears every day. And people who really want to make it in life and want to, you know, to feel prosperous and so on, they're gravitating towards these teachings. when what it's doing, it is taking you away from where God wants you. They tell you how the Spirit, you to use the Spirit of God, and what you will do if you repeat these things. They give you a lot of positive words. A lot of positive words to speak and to say, and to speak things into existence. These kinds of teaching. And it is a teaching that does not belong to God, does not belong to the church. Look at Paul warning Timothy about those who come in and are supposedly wanting to go after riches. 1 Timothy 6, verses 5 and 9. These men, he's referring to the men who are coming into church. These men of corrupt mind, look at how he describes them. Supposed godliness was a means of gain. Because many are thinking that to become a Christian, what it does is it gets you rid of all your problems. In other words, to serve God is really material gain. And this is something that was in people's heads all along. There are a lot of people. There was this gentleman called Simon the Sorcerer, who saw the apostles praying and laying hands where people received the Holy Spirit. And he came and said, "Hey guys, can you give me some of that power?" And he wanted to pay them some money. Simon the Sorcerer. Many people do not know where this Simon nowadays, we talk about is Peter was the first pope. Many people say that. But that's the same Simon. When you trace it historically, the Simon the Sorcerer. Many believe he was Simon Peter, who wanted to become wealthy and powerful, like he saw the apostles were doing, in a godly way. And he says, "Look, give me some of that, I'll give you some money." And that mentality reigns. These men of corrupt mind supposed godliness was a means of gain, and their desire for riches was a trap that brought them into ruin and destruction. The person who is a Christian serves God with a spirit. Of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, where they say, "I know my God can. I know my God is able. I know what he's capable of doing. But if he chooses for me to go into this den and for the fire to burn me to nothing, I leave it to him." We don't use God. We allow God to use us. We give God the power. Allow him his power and his glory to reign over us, and not for men trying to utilize God as for personal gains. You look here, look in verse 10 of the same First Timothy there. It says, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil." Because money drives you away from God, not to God. So if your passion is to become rich, the church is not where you come for that. The church is a spiritual. It speaks about the spiritual wealth, not the carnal, physical wealth. I saw a preacher saying to the people in a congregation, lots of people in there, and he said, "The Lord told me that tonight somebody in here is going to become a millionaire. And he points out. And he says, the person, you know who you are. Now anybody, I mean, when you say something like that, please, you know who you are. And he starts telling them what they should do. And everybody's to get up and start jumping. And the people got up and they're just jumping. And they're jumping. And then they're speaking all kind of tongues. And they're doing all kind of things. And he's saying, this is the Spirit of God. You're making a mockery of God. That's not how the church works. That's not how God calls us to be his disciples. If richness was a goal of those who follow Jesus Christ, then Jesus Christ would have been pursuing richness. But he never did. He never did. He said, foxes have their holes, and birds have their nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. In other words, he didn't care. This is not what he was pursuing. He would say, consider the lilies, how they grow. Consider the birds. And our Heavenly Father provides for them. God will provide. And the more you can believe in God in your circumstance, as the scriptures say, be content with what you have. Now, does this mean you must not work hard and seek after getting whatever is necessary for your family, for your children? It does not mean that. We will show you that to you in terms of the scripture that was read earlier. But this idea that by making positive confessions and speaking positively, those are things of New Age thought. They're not of the Bible. There's a movement called the New Age movement, and they teach those things. And you have persons such as Norman Vincent Peale, you know, who taught those things and wrote The Power of Positive Thinking and Think and Grow Rich, Napoleon Hill. And you have all these types of teachings. But they're not the teachings of the Bible. That men who believe, you know, that, well, you know, the power of thinking and the power of the mind, and yes, it is God who gives us our mind, and God who gives us the power of our minds. But he gives it to us so that we can get to know him more and more and more. Not to run down the world's health and wealth. James 4, verse 13 to 16. Look at what it says here. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Right? Because this, you know, a lot of people there, that's where their life is caught up into. It's all about money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. You're planning about you want to get well. You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. That's what you are. So therefore, the thing to do is to seek after eternal life. That is the greatest wealth. To seek after eternal life. So, instead of instructing us to pursue material wealth, what the Bible does, it teaches us against it, not to make that be it. So anytime your religion becomes one, where it is all about these positive thinking, and it's all about, you know, praying for these sorts of things to happen, it is not really where God wants us to go. What God says to us is, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, He says it in Luke 12:15. And then he makes a statement. And that is a statement to consider. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possession. That is a great philosophical statement in your Bible. It is a statement that defines life and what life is about. It says, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possession. But do you know what? Most people, when they're looking at people who are, you know, they would respect and people who they think are doing well and so on, they look and see what they drive. Oh, he drives a Benz. Gosh, this big guy over there. Well, look at where he lives. You know, he's got a mansion. He's got this business. And we define people and their importance in terms of what they have. When God looks at it in another way, God looks at it in a completely different way. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are those who hunger, those who are poor. God sees those people, not the mighty who gets up and preaching like the Pharisees and trying to say, oh, how I'm this and who I am, and making all this kind of, you know, pronouncement to tell others how great he is. When in fact, you look at the publican who just went to him and said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. That's humility of heart, seeking after God and not really parading your wealth and your power. So the instruction is, store up for yourselves treasures. Where moth or rust cannot destroy it. And God wants us to store up some treasure. But many are not, we do not gravitate towards spiritual treasure. We do not understand it. But I put it to you this way. I put it to all of us this way. So, what you're running down is the silver and the gold of this earth, the money of this earth, and yet it won't last for any time. In fact, even if that will last for a long time, you will not last. You're going to die. I'm going to die. We have, if you get 100 years, it's a big gift. And for sure, you're not going to get 150. So lest you think that, well, you can take enough supplements and you can drink enough of this and that and whatever. You're not going to go there. So what's it all about? Health and wealth gospel is driven by materialism, not by the Holy Spirit. It's by materialism. People who are told that, well, God wants you to be healthy, God wants you to be wealthy, God wants you to be rich, and all this kind of thing. It is driven by materialism. And materialism is driven by greed. And greed is driven by the carnal mind, the carnal human nature. And the carnal mind and human nature is driven by sin. So health and wealth preaching and teaching is driven by sin. That's really where it comes from. It is not of God. It's not of God's spirit. It's not from the Bible. It entices people to do all kinds of things. So let's look at someone who has good experience in this. Go back to Ecclesiastes 2, verses 4 to 11 that was read. And we will see that God gives us a clear example of how futile it is to go after and to listen to these persons who are trying to tell us how much this is all about God. Health and wealth is all about God. Look at what Solomon says. I undertook great projects. That's in verse 4. I built houses for myself and planted vineyards. Now, nobody wants more than that. You've got it all. Everything that you would like to have. I made gardens and parks and planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made reservoirs to water groves of flourishing trees. I bought male and female slaves and had other slaves who were born in my house. I also owned more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before me. I amassed silver and gold for myself and the treasure of kings and provinces. All of these things, you can't be more satisfied. In fact, he goes on. I acquired men and women singers. So, you know, his life was not boring. He had entertainment. He acquired them. He didn't just pay them to come in and sing one day. They were there for him whenever he wants to hear his music. He acquired male and female singers and a harem, as well as the delights of the heart of men. I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. And then he goes on, he says, in all this, my wisdom stayed with me. God would have caused him, because God was using him for a particular purpose. His wisdom stayed with him, because he's trying to understand, what does this mean? Is this really what life is about? Is this how I must live my life? Is this what is worthwhile pursuing? So his wisdom remained with me, with him. He goes on, verse 10. I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my work. And this was the reward of all my labor. And he reflected. So you and I don't have to go to the same road to see how I can gain happiness. Because many people say that what you must seek out of life is happiness. But where does happiness come from? Happiness does not come from all these things that Solomon is talking about here. Because he's going to tell you now. He's going to tell you his opinion of it. He's going to tell you through the wisdom that God gave him whether that was the best choice to make in life. He's going to tell you. Look in verse 11. Verse 11 of Ecclesiastes 2. Yet, when I surveyed all my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. Nothing. Health and wealth teaching. That's where it leads you, to a meaningless life. Nothing is gained under the sun. In fact, he went on to say, now this is the end of the matter. What he came to the conclusion of, the conclusion to which he came was that the whole purpose of life, and I wonder how people miss this, the whole purpose of life is to serve God and to keep his commandments. Why? Because Jesus answers for us. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. The things that you think, but here it is. what you will get is eternal life. And therefore, the things you'll be able to enjoy, you'll be able to have them eternally. We have an offer, a wealth offer too. We have a wealth offer. But we are saying, you're looking at the wrong one over there. You're looking at getting it here and now. Instant. The immediate gratification of wanting to get something now. We are saying that there is an offer that God has for you and for me. And that is to give us health. That health is called eternal life. That health you cannot get through through all of what is being talked about. None of those persons teaching and preaching health and wealth, I guarantee you, and watch it, keep a calendar, they will not live beyond 150. I can guarantee you that. They will not. They're going to die before. Many have already died. And many more are to die, as much as all of us will. So you cannot lay up your treasures there. The place to do it is to seek after God. And that is why the things we teach about what God wants you to do. We teach, for example, coming up in April, God's Passover is something that God wants you and me to observe. He does not want you to observe the world's Easter. But your health and wealth teachers will tell you, oh, come join me in Easter. Watch it. Watch your television screen again and see what they're going to tell you. What you look and see if anyone's going to tell you to come and keep God's Passover. They're not going to tell you to do that. They're going to come and say, come. And not only that, they're going to say, send your Easter offering. But you need to know. You need to know what God wants you to do. This does not mean that we must not be ambitious to do the best with the talents that God has given to us, to work hard in this physical life, to do the best for our health, to acquire the best education you can, to take care of your families, your children, because that also is in the Bible. The Bible says the man who does not take care of his family is worse than an infidel. So what we're talking about here is the balance that God gives us. He tells us what is important and what we need to do. But what he wants us to remember is that the life he has given to us is a temporary life. And there is a purpose he wants us to fulfill in this temporary life. And that is to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Because at the end, he is going to reward you everything. So in Ecclesiastes 5, verse 15 to 16, he says, naked a man comes from his mother's womb, and as he comes, so he departs. He takes nothing from his labor that he can carry in his hand. All of it, it makes no sense. Turn over to chapter 6 of Ecclesiastes. Chapter 6. Verses 3 to 6. A man may have 100 children and live many years. Yet no matter how long he lives, if he cannot enjoy his prosperity and does not receive proper burial, verse 6, even if he lives 1,000 years twice over, but fails to enjoy his prosperity, do not all go to the same place? which is the grave. Eternal life, the assurance of everlasting life, is the gift of God. The gift of God to humanity. Each one of us, the biggest problem that we have is the wages of sin. The wages of sin is death. And we are all doomed to die in this physical life. And we need to give it up. We need to give up this life and give it to God. We need to surrender our lives and live it, not just ritually, not just in a manner where we are just merely going through, you know, the motions, but live it in a manner where we despise the world and we despise the sin and we love righteousness and we love God. That's what the scripture says. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. Everything belongs to God. Not simply to go through the motions of saying we are in church. Look in chapter 8 of the same book, Ecclesiastes, verse 7 and 8. Since no man knows the future, who can tell him what is to come? We just don't know. Only God knows. And when you are with God, on His side, then you know you are protected. No man has power over the mind, over the wind to contain it. So no one has power over the day of his death. Is there any person you can point to, no matter how educated or how wealthy? Nowadays you're having trillionaires. We're moving away from billionaires now to trillionaires. Amazon and Apple has now hit the $1 trillion mark in their income. But tell me which of these persons have power over their death. Which of them can prevent themselves from dying? Absolutely none. Looking to God. In other words, the people who are the people that are wise upon the earth, the people who are the greatest investors upon the earth, are those who invest in the kingdom of God. Those are the investors that make sense. Amazon is not it, nor is Apple it, seeking after the kingdom of God. Look in chapter 12 and verse 13. We made reference to it. Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. You want health and wealth? You want prosperity? You want to hear the real health and wealth gospel? And the real prosperity gospel? It is not about the material wealth of this earth. Those who will obtain this health and wealth are not the kinds of people that you see flying their big jets and showing off what God has done for them. That's not it. It is to fear God and keep His commandments. That's what it says here. And when you go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, because they say that health and wealth is by faith. Health and wealth, you must have faith. The more you can increase your faith, the more your God will increase your wealth. But that is false doctrine. Look in the book of Hebrews and look at these persons who were, some were sawn in two, some had to live in sheepskin. Look at it. Look at them. Live in tents. Look at them. Moses. He turned around. Let's look at by faith Moses in verse 23. By faith Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict, which was to kill off all of the young men, all of the babies. Verse 24. By faith Moses, when he had grown up, went after health and wealth of Pharaoh. Is that what you see? He had health and wealth. He could have gone after it. But by faith Moses, when he grew up, refused to be known as a son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with God's people. Mistreated along with God's people, rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded this grace for the sake of Christ as greater value than the treasures of Egypt. Now compare that. The treasures of Egypt. Egypt was a superpower of the world at that time. But he chose to suffer with God's people. And he regarded as greater value suffering with God's people than the treasures of Egypt. Why? Because he was looking ahead to his reward. So we have a reward. There's something we're working for. We're not foolish. But we're just looking for that which works. We're looking for that which makes sense. And the things that make sense are the things that are eternal. Not these things around here. So health and wealth gospel, you can take it, you can keep it. It's not for God's people. God's people have another kind of wealth. And that is why we are continuing to keep God's festivals. His Passover that is coming up. Because we will suffer with Christ. Suffer the way he suffered. Until the day he comes. Amen.